Hi, and welcome to the Grace Church Neuros. You can find us on the World Wide Web at www.thegracechurch.ie, or you can get more information on our pastor, Miles McKee, on www.milesmckee.com. We thank you for tuning in and listening to the following sermon by Miles. Our hope is that God would bless you through this message, and that you would be encouraged and edified in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the sermon.
I'm going to speak this morning. I don't think it's a long message. It might be long, but I don't think so. But it's an important message. And it's got to do with how we respond to Jesus. And let's see if you pick out what the text would be. Well, actually, he's already put it up on the screen, which is okay. Go and tell Jesus. Let's see where this comes from. Matthew 14, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works to show forth themselves in him, for Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It's not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being instructed of her mother, and said, Give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was very sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took it up. That's John's disciples. Came and took up the body and buried it. And went and told Jesus. Wow. These disciples of John had learned a marvelous secret. They'd learned that whenever they were in sorrow, in distress, in grief, under pressure, go and tell Jesus. I wish we knew as much as these folks, because we generally, when we get stressed and grieved, we usually tell everybody but Jesus. We complain and fuss and have pity parties rather than going to the Lord. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 15 to 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Who's this high priest that we have? His name is Jesus. Every one of us has a high priest. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have a high priest, Jesus. For we have not a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know what that's another way of saying? Go and tell Jesus. Go and tell Jesus. He's wonderful. But many of us don't know how to do this. Many of us don't know how to unburden ourselves. I was talking to a woman this week, and she's in terrible distress, and we've worked with her several times, and I told her, in simple terms, to cast her burden on the Lord. And she's not saved, and I was trying to make it as simple as possible, but you know, he will sustain you. Look, bring this to the Lord. She said, but I don't know how to. And what you're talking to me about, I don't know anything about that. It's like you're telling me the directions, the road directions to get to Wexford, and I just don't understand them. She didn't understand how she could cast her burden on the Lord. She didn't understand how he could just, you know, now we've witnessed her to her before and given her a Bible, and we've even managed to get her to attend a few meetings, and I wish she would attend some meetings and things like this would become clear. But there's some folks just lost. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about him being ready to help and willing to help and being there. And we somehow try to, even believers, even we who are walking with the Lord, try to carry our burdens ourselves. And do you know what happens when you carry your burdens? You get crushed. You say, Brother McKee, you wouldn't get crushed. You've been in the ministry for 40 years. Well, I'd get crushed. Because Brother McKee isn't strong. The older I've got, and the more I've grown in the Lord, the more I realize I am not strong. But he is. He is my strength. Well, these disciples of John knew a lot of things that we didn't know. They took their burden to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just read the story of what had happened. Herod, he was doing the hooky-nooky with his sister-in-law. And everybody laughed at it. Everybody thought, it's great, it's wonderful. Except for one man, John the Baptist, and he preached against it. He said, that's wrong. And so John the Baptist is thrown into jail. And then there's this little girl, she's not mentioned there, she's called Salome. And she does this dance and seduces Herod. And he says, whatsoever you want. In another account it says, up to the half of my kingdom, I'll give to you. She says, I want the head of John the Baptist in a platter. He should have said, his head's not in the half, I promise you. That's what he should have said. But no. Off he goes, cuts off his head. Just by the way, do you remember when at the end of Christ's ministry, he's brought before Herod? Listen, Anton, he's brought before Herod, and Herod asked some questions, and Jesus answered not a word. Why? Think about it. Who was the voice of God in this story? He was John the Baptist. And Herod silenced the voice of God. He killed the voice of God. So Jesus, by his silence, says, God has nothing more to say to you. You've silenced the voice of God. Well, there's a whole other sermon there. But we must move on with this one. That scandalous family beheaded John the Baptist, and the disciples, their world, fell in. What do we do when life caves in? Well, that's simple. Go and tell Jesus. That's the only point I'm going to make today. Any of us can remember this. Go and tell Jesus. The psalmist in Psalm 120, verses 1 to 2, had discovered this same principle. He says, In my distress, have you ever been in distress? In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. But listen, if he just cried unto the Lord, that'd be one thing, but it gets better than that. He cried unto the Lord, and look, he heard me. When we cry unto the Lord, we cry out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, he is our mediator. And he hears us. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. This poor man is being severely slandered and maligned. Lying lips, deceitful tongues. You know, people are telling lies about him. Have you ever been lied about? I've been lied about. It hurts. People say, oh, sticks and stones will break your bones. But names will never harm you. What a load of codswallop that is. Names hurt. It hurts when people are talking about you. So what are we to do? Go and tell Jesus. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. Now every single believer will go through hassles, hard times, trials. I know there are people and preachers who say, come to Jesus, everything will always be all right, and you'll have all these wonderful things. And listen, we get lots of wonderful things, but we find ourselves not just redeemed, we're recruited. We're in this cosmic conflict on the Lord's side against the forces that are arranged against Him. And personally, we get into the war. And we get afflicted and we don't seem to be immune from trouble. Oh, how do we get through this? How do we deal with this? Go and tell Jesus. Is that simple? Every Christian, each one of us, will encounter people who hate us without a cause. Some people malign you. And especially when you get into ministry, I have a lot of young men who, in the course of my life, have said, oh, I want to preach. Brother McKay, I want to preach. I just say, great. No higher call. The old Puritan Goodwin, he said, God had only one son and He made him a preacher. I mean, that's really true. But I always advise people not to get into the ministry, because people will hate you. The more you preach Jesus, they'll hate you. You say, that can't be true. Well, believe it or not, it is true. It is true. They'll slander you. They'll malign you. Who? Other Christians. And people who are self-righteous, church-going people. I was handing out tracts. I've maybe told you this before. Handing out tracts many, many years ago. Outside Windsor Castle in England. And I looked across the street and one of the gates opened and this old betweeded gentleman came out, you see, with his walking stick, and he looked very like a retired colonel, whatever. And he's walking straight for me, so I said, yeah, maybe he works for the Queen, who knows? I don't know, you know, but he's walking. So he comes across the street and I hand him a tract. And he looks at the tract and he says, what was it? He says, I go to the Church of England and you can go to Halifax. Well, it wasn't Halifax, but it was a hotter place than Halifax. Okay. There, you know, he didn't need the gospel. He was in the Church of England. And he said some other choice words, but we'll not get into that. Oh yeah, people will hiss at you through their teeth. There's an old speaker, a preacher from a different generation called Charles Lamb, and he was preaching away. And somebody in the audience went, and Lamb stopped the meeting and he said, well, there's only three things I know that hiss. Number one, a goose. Number two, a snake. And number three, a fool. Stand forth and be identified. Boy, I tell you, I wish I'd had the presence of mind many times in my career when people have attacked me. I don't have that. I'm not fast on my feet. And sometimes insults hurt. What can we do? And what should we do? We go and tell Jesus. Can I tell you a wee insight? One of the worst things that can happen to a believer is for no one to ever speak ill about him. Did you hear me? That's one of the worst things that can ever happen to a believer is for no one to speak ill about you. Luke 6, verse 26 makes it very clear. This is the teaching of the Master. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. But we want people to speak well of us. We want everybody to love us. And Jesus says, woe unto you when everyone shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Wow. I don't like that verse, Jesus. I want everybody to accept me. That's part of our nature, isn't it? We don't want to be rejected. But Jesus pronounces a woe. Woe. Now then, every Christian worth their salt will be maligned. Old Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite speakers, they used to print cartoons of him in the local paper, in the London paper, and call him a buffoon. That's got to have hurt. George Whitefield, one of the greatest preachers to ever have walked the face of the earth since the days of the apostles, George Whitefield was called a charlatan. That's got to have hurt. The one that doesn't hurt me anymore, it used to. People would say to me, "Ah, you're only in that ministry stuff for the money." I said, "The what?" "You're only preaching for the money." I started to laugh at that. I used to get mad at that. I used to go, "How dare you? What money? Where's the money? Show me how to be in it for the money and I'll do it." No. But people will malign you, criticize. I was witnessing to a fellow in Wexford Town. And his mother came past. And I met him afterwards. I said, "Don't be listening to that fellow. He's probably wanted for murder back in America." This is what she said. "Probably wanted for murder back in America." She was dead serious. Oh, yeah. So anyway, what should we do when people malign us for being a Christian? When family reject us, when families say, "You've been brainwashed." And that has happened so many times here in Ireland. "Oh, you're just brainwashed. You're just brainwashed." That's right. I am brainwashed. My brains were filthy brains and they needed to be washed with the Word of God. And if you don't believe me, look at your own self. We need to have our minds renewed and think along with God. But there's a lot of attack for Christians, and we have young Christians here today. Don't be getting alarmed. Don't be getting shocked when not everybody loves you and people oppose you. But learn to take that to Jesus. Go and tell Jesus. Jesus is the one who was hated without a cause. He had the hardest and most awful things said about him. They said that he had a demon. Yes, Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Word made flesh. They said, "He's got a demon." Do you know what they did to him? When he was born, they tried to kill him. You talk about rejection. He came onto his own and his own received him not. They tried to kill him. He went to church in his hometown and he spoke a few words and they tried to kill him again. Gosh, this guy's been through it. He was denounced. He was pursued. He was spat upon as a man. And when they hung him on the cross, they jeered him and they mocked him. They wagged their tongues at him. Don't you think he can help you with your bruised soul? He's been through it. He's been through it. Go and tell Jesus. I don't care what you're going through right now. Go and tell Jesus. Go to him in your sorrow. Go to him in your distress. No matter what your condition, go and tell Jesus. Jesus is alive. He's not just this character out of this storybook called the Bible. He's alive. On the third day he rose from the grave. He's ruling and reigning in the universe. He's alive. Go and tell Jesus. Pour out your heart to the Lord Jesus. He is a very present help in time of trouble. When you're in despair and you don't know what to do, go and tell Jesus. Do you remember good King Hezekiah way back there in 2 Kings 19? He received the most awful letter. You should check this out. We'll not go through it all, but he received an awful letter from the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to plunder you. And this king had destroyed many, many nations. He had huge armies. He had crack soldiers. And Hezekiah is no match for them. So what did Hezekiah do? Look at this. Verse 14, 2 Kings 19. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Look what he's doing. He's going and telling Jesus. Look at that. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. What's he doing? He's telling Jesus, bow down thine ear and hear, and open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Well, there's so much instruction in this, but the basic point we're trying to make is he learned where to go. He's getting a letter which says, I'm going to wipe you out and your people out. So what does he do? He goes and tells Jesus. Doesn't panic. He doesn't have a pity party. Oh, help! Help! No. He goes and tells Jesus. He went and told the Lord. And the Lord heard and the Lord helped. And you can see the story as you read it yourself. So tell me, what trouble are you in today? Go and tell Jesus about it. Maybe you say, I am spiritually bankrupt. Go tell Jesus about it. I have no hunger for the Word of God. Go tell Jesus about it. I have no desire to pray. Go tell Jesus about it. Go tell Jesus about it. You know, the problem that problems that we sometimes find ourselves in are problems of our own making. Yeah. We create problems sometimes. But yeah, that's true. So I suppose I'll work myself through those myself. No, go tell Jesus about it. Go tell Jesus. Whether you made the mess yourself, go tell Jesus. You know, very few of us ever have best friends. Oh, doggies become our best friends. Yeah, they're great. I love dogs. But people, it's like Mark Twain said, that heaven must go by grace. Because if it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. Many a dog deserves to go to heaven. And not one of us deserves to go. We go there by grace. People, you see, sometimes we think they're our friends, but they turn on us and they betray us and they do things and work against us and it shocks us. But in Christ we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and he is on his throne and he's welcoming us. And he says, come to me. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Yeah. Jesus is not somebody for the believer to be afraid of. He's our high priest. And we get this idea of priests, they're distant and they're a people are to be afraid of the priest. No. No. This is one priest who won't slap you over the head. Jesus is our high priest. We'll go back to one of those scriptures we read earlier, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, Anton. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's in the negative form. Let's work together and put this in the positive. For we have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He can be touched, not just with our infirmities. He can be touched, Michael, with the feeling. He knows exactly how we feel. It's not just even the infirmities. It's He knows how we feel. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. What's an infirmity? Well, in the Greek language, it's a word that means a defect or a deformity, which happens in an animal or a man. And if you had an infirmity, you could not enter the priestly office. You can check that out at your own leisure in Leviticus 21. But in the New Testament, an infirmity is the negative form of stenos. And stenos is strength. And so what it is, an infirmity means the very opposite of strength. He can be touched with the very feelings of all the things in our life that are the opposite of strength. And so we have a high priest who can be touched with our weakness, with our crippling weakness, with our infirmity, with our lack of strength. Jesus is touched with that. And that's why I said at the beginning, we're wanting people to be strong. I don't want you to be strong. I want you to be weak and go to the one who is strong. Jesus. He's our strength. If I'm strong enough to get through this, I should be rewarded and praised and have a statue built to me. No. I'm without strength. But I've got a high priest. He's my strength. Go and tell Jesus. Whatever it is. Go and tell Jesus. He understands. He understands your frustration. He understands your anxiety. He understands your depression. He understands your hurt. He understands the whole ghastly gamut of emotions, which goes along with everything that you're facing. Hebrews 5, 7 to 8. This further proves that Hebrews 5, 7 to 8, who in the days of his flesh, this is Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was carried in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. This points us to Gethsemane, to the passion, to the suffering, and then onwards to the cross. There he experienced it all. Did you know he experienced what it was to be like us? He was wounded for our transgressions. But he was reckoned as being us at the cross. This is one of the most marvelous mysteries, gospel mysteries. And yet it's a plain truth. He went to the cross and was treated as if he were you. All your failures, all your sin, all your wicked thoughts, all the nonsense and wickedness that's flowed from your heart and my heart was put on him, reckoned to him, imputed to him, calculated to him. Oh, he knows what it's like to be us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we are healed. Have you been to Jesus for the healing? For your soul? Have you put your trust in him? Have you come to him and said, Lord, I am a weak, useless sinner. That's me. I have no righteousness of my own, but you died for people who were without strength. That's me, Lord. I put my trust in you. Just be my Savior. Have you been there yet? Well, I urge you to go to him today. Even as you're sitting in your chair, go to him and trust him. Oh, yeah. He's experienced it all. He's wrestled with the feelings of our infirmity. You know, one of the great words of the gospel is Emmanuel. And that simply means God with us. That's who Jesus is. He's God with us. He's not God against us. He's not God detached from us. He's God with us. And that's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Not apologetically, but boldly. We don't have to feel there's something wrong with our Christianity, beloved. Because we get problems, because we get depressed, we go boldly to the throne of grace. And there he who sits upon the throne knows your very feelings and can identify with them. He can be touched. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So come to the Savior who knows all about you. He knows about your hurts. He invites you to come to him. You're not coming to a Savior who doesn't care. The Lord Jesus cares. If you think he doesn't care, look to the cross, look to Calvary and see him hanging there. He's not going to say to you, quit crying or I'll give you something to cry about. That's not Jesus. Whatever the problem, whatever the dilemma, go and tell Jesus. The old hymn says it like this. We'll finish with this hymn. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and I see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb. My perfect, spotless righteousness. This great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. And that is the gospel truth this Sunday morning.